Russia's war in Ukraine has met stiff resistance from Ukrainian soldiers and everyday citizens who've taken up arms against invading Russian troops. During an intelligence briefing yesterday, members of Congress were told the fighting will likely get worse. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy tweeted, "The fight for Kyiv will be long and bloody, and Ukrainians are rapidly preparing for street-to-street combat." Our next guest, a former CIA officer, predicts Ukrainian resistance will become an insurgency against a possible Russian occupation. Douglas London now teaches at Georgetown University. And Doug, you've written a piece for Foreign Affairs that we'll link to at hereandnow.org. It's headlined, "The Coming Ukrainian Insurgency." What's your definition of insurgency here and what that might look like?
An insurgency would be defined by a national movement, an internal intrinsic one, that continues to fight in order to repel an occupier and seize power, seize government. I believe that's unavoidable for the Russians, though much will depend on the end game and how they plan to execute it in terms of what does Putin foresee as a governable Ukraine after the conflict.
Right. So Ukraine, of course, not a member of NATO. President Biden has said he won't send U.S. troops into Ukraine. But the U.S. and its allies have imposed some tough economic sanctions on Russia, along with promises to send money and weapons to help Ukrainians fight. So I'm curious how you think that relationship would change if this did become a more developed insurgency, as you described. What would be the U.S. role here?
The U.S. will continue to provide support to Ukrainian opposition, Ukrainian resistance, while maintaining its economic sanctions and political measures to try to provide consequences that would compel Putin to revisit his strategy in Ukraine. I think that will be difficult. I think Putin's real motive there was ultimately a concern that he's got a limited window and his fear for a grassroots insurgency against him, or at least an opposition against him, would be aided by a thriving, pluralistic, democratic Ukraine. He looks at his other border states, if you would, other former Soviet states like Kazakhstan and Chechnya, and he has to consider, will they fall? I think the strategy will be continuing to finding a way to pressure Putin such that he finds for himself a way out, an exit ramp, if he so chooses to take that, preserves his power and leadership, at least for the interim.
Of course, it's still very early days in this war, but we have heard from some observers who say that Russia's attack on Ukraine has not been as successful as anticipated, or at least not as quickly successful as anticipated. I'm wondering if you agree with that, and if so, why you think that is?
I think you'd have to take care, as you've noted, because it's early in the war. I think Putin would have been very happy if his dream came true, that the Ukrainians welcomed them as liberators and just turned over their arms. But that's clearly not happened. It's been tough sledding because, indeed, the Russians have held back from their usual doctrine because they don't want to level the cities. They don't want to open themselves not just to, you know, international condemnation for it, but they have to rule over these people, which is their objective and expectation, and they'd like to see a puppet regime and one that eventually gets support. That, as you've said, as you've noted correctly, is changing as Putin becomes frustrated because he now needs to secure this country. But had it gone the way he wanted, as the way he expected, he would be able to transition. Now, this allows an insurgency, of course, to form more roots, and with a great deal of consensus and uniform focus against the Russians, he's creating this great motivation among the countryside and the people to continue this fight no matter how long it takes and despite whatever occupation conditions they might face.
You were a senior operations officer in the CIA clandestine service for more than 34 years. So what's your sense of the involvement of outside intelligence agencies in Ukraine right now? For example, would the U.S. or other governments have people on the ground there? And if so, what sorts of things might they be doing?
Well, without getting into too much detail, there's certainly a great deal of collaboration among partner services. There's use of other services' resources as surrogates or proxies, people on the ground who could establish communications links. I would also not write off certain countries who are not publicly showing as much support for Ukraine, but in an effort to not to provoke the Russians on one hand, but still hedge their bets, might be providing certain resources or capacities or use of their territory to engage and support the Ukrainian resistance. So the world has become a lot smaller, and particularly partner services tend to try to complement one another where they can and extend their own capabilities through those partnerships.
Well, really interesting conversation. That's Douglas London. He was a senior operations officer in the CIA clandestine service. He's the author of The Recruiter, Spying and the Lost Art of American Intelligence. Douglas London, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the program.